I'd like to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 8 with me. It's been some weeks since we've been looking closely at John's Gospel. And John chapter 8 is a remarkable passage of Scripture. And it's wonderful. One of the things that's amazing is that John's Gospel is characterised by these long conversations that the Lord Jesus Christ has with religious people. And this, in John chapter 8, are religious people who will and have, in John chapter 7, established the fact before all men that their intention is to kill him. And their intention is to establish their own righteousness in killing him. But it's just extraordinary, isn't it, that the enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ cause us now in 2023 to read these remarkable words that the Lord says to us through his words to them. After we sing again, I wanted to read John chapter 8, and I want to make just a few comments on it. But John chapter 8 speaks of two groups of people of which I don't want to be a part of, and I don't want any of you to be a part of at all. There is one group of people who are in direct opposition to him, and openly so. And then there is another group of people who in verse 31 says, and verse 30 says, when he spake these words, many believed on him. So they had a type of faith. They had a type of faith. They had a faith that was then challenged and exposed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you go down to the end of the chapter, these people in John chapter 8, verse 31, that believed on him, verse 59, and they took up stones to cast at him. And then the Lord Jesus Christ does something quite remarkable, doesn't he? Which is something I pray that he never does for you or for me. Jesus hid himself. Jesus hid himself and went out, and he went through the midst of them and he passed by. I pray that this is a place where the Lord Jesus Christ stops, and as we saw in Exodus chapter 3 last week, that he reveals himself in his glory and he draws his people aside to see the wonderful sight. I've been looking at John chapter 8 for the last, I don't know how many weeks I've had this floating around on my desk, but the yellow bits are the Lord's descriptions of himself. The pink bits are his challenge and his exhortations to those who didn't believe, and the warnings of those who did believe in his word. John chapter 8 has several descriptions of him where he declares himself to be the I Am. And in fact, they picked up stones to stone him because he declared to be the I Am. He says that he is the I Am on a number of occasions. And also John chapter 8 is a remarkable chapter where he says, if you continue in my word, the words that he is speaking here, if you continue in them, John 8:31, then are you my disciples indeed. Oh, brothers and sisters, I want to be a disciple indeed. I want to be a disciple. I want you to be disciples indeed. I want us to hear his word, to believe his word, to continue in his word. God's children find the word of God a delight, a continuing delight to their souls. There's so much of it that we don't understand, but there's so much of it that we can believe and rejoice in. I'm so pleased that the Lord says we don't have to have understanding, we just have to have faith. We just have to believe. And one of the things that you need to take in mind before we come and read this remarkable passage of Scripture is that the Lord Jesus Christ, as he was saying these things and as he was doing these things in Jerusalem,
He was living a perfect righteousness before the holy law of God. He was loving God with all of his heart, all of his soul, and all of his mind, and all of his strength. And he was loving his neighbour as himself. And we were doing it with him. Everyone was doing it. This is our righteousness being declared. This is our Saviour being declared. This is our Saviour dealing with opposition to the simple things that he says about who he is and how he saves his people. And may he find in us hearts that are receptive. I don't want to be in either of those categories of people, and I pray that you will pray with me that you're not part of them, because the reality is that they are few. They are few. And the Pharisees and the others are many. So with all that said, I'd like us to sing again. I think it's number, is it 28, Norm? Yes. Number 28 in your hymn books. Number 28, for me the spotless lamb agreed his father's wrath to bear. For me his precious blood he shed, my guilty soul to spare. I see his head, his hands, his feet, I hear his groans and cries. For me he bears hell's awful heat, for me the surety dies. Chapter 8 begins with the story of that woman caught in adultery, and I just do love how the enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ, in their attempt to put him to death and to prove him false, cause this lady to be brought into his presence, and the Lord Jesus Christ declared to her, when they'd all gone away, all the accusers are gone, then he speaks to her. He doesn't have to say another word to her. And when all the accusers are gone, then he speaks. And he says, neither do I condemn you. She had no sin in his sight. And that's a glorious thing. That's the gospel, isn't it? Guilty and yet not condemned.
Guilty and yet not condemned. So verse 12, after this, and so this is in a church service, so let's just try and remember the setting of this is a church service. The Lord Jesus Christ had come to the temple on the day after the Feast of Tabernacles was finished. So the people there had gathered on their way home to have one last opportunity, many of them, to hear from the Lord Jesus Christ, because he didn't stay in Jerusalem for long. He was never there for very long. He came and he visited when he had to, and he left. He left. And so this was maybe their last opportunity. So a crowd is gathered in his court of the women. And the Lord Jesus Christ has this church service. And into the middle of the church service, in come the Pharisees with this woman caught in adultery, to embarrass her as much as possible, and to humiliate and to denigrate him and to prove him false. So then the Lord Jesus Christ speaks. So this is in the temple, this is in the tabernacle, this is speaking to a group of Jews who knew their Old Testament really well. They were attending a religious service. These people were zealous. They'd travelled across land and sea, many of them, all of them, nearly all of them had come on some long journey to get there at some great sacrifice. So these were serious people in religion. It wasn't just an incidental thing in their lives. This was a big deal. In verse 12, then Jesus spake again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Last week we looked at Exodus chapter 3, and for him to be the I am is to declare in the plainest, simple terms possible, I am God. And in Exodus chapter 3, I am that I am. I am the sovereign ruler of all things, and I have come and I hear the cries of my people. I've come down to do what I promised. What I promised Abraham 450 years before these events, what I promised in the eternal covenant of grace. I've come down to fulfil my promise. And he is, in Exodus, the great deliverer. But he's not just a great deliverer, he's a great bringer, isn't he? He not just delivers his people from the darkness of Egypt, he brings his people into the light of the promised land. He does it all, and he does it all to the glory of his power and his grace and his character. He's revealing who he is, isn't he? That's what the declaration of the gospel is. It's a declaration of a hymn. And he declares himself, if I bragged about myself, the same response we'd get from the Pharisees, wouldn't we? You bear record of yourself, your record's not true. The Lord Jesus Christ bears record of himself as God. And he's not boasting, he's just telling the truth again and again and again. He's not like us, brothers and sisters. He needs to make himself known. He needs to declare himself so we can know him. He needs to. And we need for him to declare himself to us. You'll have the light of life. You'll no longer walk in darkness. You'll no longer walk in the captivity of this world and the captivity of its religion, the captivity of sin, the captivity of Satan, all of the things that darken this world. You'll have the light of life. You'll have it. It'll be the possession. It is the promised possession of all of God's children. Verse 13, the Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself. This word record, this word testimony, is the word from which we get the word martyr. He's prepared to die for this testimony, brothers and sisters. He's prepared to die and stand condemned on the basis of this record of who he is. My record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go. I know that I've come from heaven, and I know I'm going back to heaven. And he says, but you cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. You can't tell. You can't tell by human reasoning. You can't tell by human intellect or human knowledge of any way. You cannot tell. Cannot tell. Three times in this passage of Scripture, he says you cannot. And also, he says, you will. Let's go on. You cannot tell. You judge after the flesh. Your judgment is just a fleshly judgment. This man standing before you looks like a carpenter from Nazareth, and he is a carpenter from Nazareth, but he's much, much more than a carpenter from Nazareth. You judge after the flesh. You are standing in judgment of God, you people, which is exactly what Satan told us in the garden. You will know good and evil. You'll be able to discern the difference between good and evil, and you will, on account of your free will, be able to do the good and shun the evil. Look what's happened ever since, brothers and sisters, in all of this world. And then verse 16, he says, and if yet I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that has sent me. He and the Father are one. He and the Father are together. He says in John 14, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's how close we are. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. You can read about that in Deuteronomy 17 and 19. And it was the testimony of two men to put someone else to death is the testimony that's been spoken of there. I am. Don't you love this? I am the one that bear witness of myself. He's one of these witnesses. And the Father that has sent me bear witness of me. The Father bore witness of him. He spoke from heaven. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Listen to him. Follow him. And then they said unto him, I want us to see these people as people in darkness. And they're in the very presence of God, who is proclaiming himself to be God and doing the things that only God can do. They said unto him, where is thy Father? Jesus answered, you neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, you shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come. There is a great gulf fixed, brothers and sisters, between heaven and hell. You cannot go from one to the other. Praise the Lord. Then said the Jews, look at the ignorance. He's making the most remarkable statements, and they are saying the silliest things. These are incredibly intelligent people with an extraordinary history and tradition and knowledge of the scriptures. And here they are in the presence of God Almighty looking like fools, aren't they? Will he kill himself because he saith, whither I go, you cannot come? They said the same silly things in John chapter 5 and John chapter 7. And he said unto them, you are from beneath. I am from above. Because if you believe not that I am, and the he's in italics, isn't it? If you believe not that I am God, if you believe not that I am who I say I am, you shall die in your sins. The people, the multitudes that go from this place to that place that I pray none of you ever go to, die surrounded by their sins, die knowing that all of their sins and all of their reasons for being in that place is all of their own fault. They'll be without excuse on that great day of judgment, and their mouths will be shut. Some of these arrogant people, I remember David Attenborough, no, it wasn't, it was some other, Stephen Fry, saying, you know, he was asked what's going to happen when you meet God. Well, he says, when I meet God, I'm going to tell him this, 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 and this. And he didn't design things very well, and he didn't organize things, he didn't arrange things very well in this world. He will be silent and aware of his sins. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. And it may well have been the beginning of this particular discourse with them. It may well have been the beginning of his time in Jerusalem. The first time they encountered him in the Jerusalem, he went to that temple and he cast out thousands of people and hundreds of cattle and overturned those tables. It wasn't just a little thing done in the corner. That was a huge marketplace, and he cleared it all. And he said, I'm God, and this is my Father's house. And it was meant to be a house of prayer for all nations, where people met with God and talked with God. And you have just turned it into a marketplace. You just turned it into a marketplace. That was the first time they encountered him seriously, unless we go back to what happened up at the Jordan, but they seem to ignore him there as well and ignore the words of John the Baptist. Even the same as I said to you from the beginning, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. Verse 27. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you shall know that I am he, I am God, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. He's the only man that ever walked on this earth that could say those words, and for it to be true and gloriously true. Always those things that pleased him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. I want to be a disciple indeed. I want you to be a disciple. The word disciple means learner. I love that. I love the fact that we are learning, aren't we? We grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We never attain that completeness until we leave this place, do we? I want to be a learner. I want to be a follower. I want to be a disciple indeed. I want you to be disciples indeed. Not just in word, not just in thought, but disciples indeed. And then listen to what happens to the disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The true disciples know him. They know him. And they know the truth. The truth's a person in the scriptures, isn't it? All of the truth that matters is the truth of a person. Verse 33. We be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. Unless that was written in the scriptures, you couldn't believe that any Jew would ever even contemplate saying that, could you? They'd been in bondage for a whole bunch of their lives. They'd been in bondage in Egypt for 450 years. They'd been in bondage to Babylon for 70 years. They were now in bondage to Rome, and they were looking for a Messiah to set them free. And they were excited about the Messiah coming so they could reign and sit on the throne of Rome. Dear oh dear. These are intelligent people, brothers and sisters. These are religious people. These aren't people that have come out of some gutter somewhere. These are morally upright, religiously not knowledgeable people. We've never been in bondage. How sayest thou that you should be made free? Then the Lord Jesus talks about the captivity, isn't he? Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, literally the slave. If you commit sin, you're a slave to sin. And the servant, the slave, abideth not in the house forever. They just have a temporary time in the house, don't they? But the Son abideth ever.
If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I've seen of my father, and you do that which you have seen of your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, If you are Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, We were not born of fornication. And I can't help but think that they'd gone to Nazareth and they'd found out what happened up there and they found all the stories and all the salacious gossip from around Nazareth about Joseph and Mary and this baby that conveniently was born a long, long way away. But Mary was well pregnant before the marriage, as they would have thought. Anyway, I'm sure there was a mocking in their tone. We have one Father, even God. That's a good boast, isn't it? We're Abraham's children, and we are the children of God. Have you heard that before? We are the children of God. Jesus saith unto them, If God were your Father, you would love me. If God's your Father, you'll love the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll love him as he's described here. You'll love him in this conversation with these people. You'll love this one who stands between his enemies and his bride and speaks such powerful words. The lady caught in adultery was no doubt still there at this time. If God were your Father, you would love me. I came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You cannot hear my word. Oh Lord, speak to us. You are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. The promise of their actions, nothing surprised the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. But I tell you the truth, verse 45, and because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. What a remarkable statement from our God to these people that claim to be the children of God, that knew from their genealogies that they were Abraham's fleshly children, but they weren't Abraham's faith children. Because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convicts me of sin? What a remarkable statement. He's saying to these people who are going to kill him, have you ever found one sin in me, on me, in thought and word and deed? We think we know what holiness looks like, don't we? We think obedience to the law would look like, wouldn't you? You would think that a religious crowd would have some inkling of someone who was perfectly holy and perfectly true and perfectly righteous. And here he is standing in their midst, declaring himself to be that one. Listen to them. And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God, and the word of is a word of origin, he that has an origin from God, he that is born from above, he that is of God heareth God's words. You, therefore, hear them not, because you are not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well, this is a good speech from us, that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil. They knew from their own genealogical records that he wasn't a Samaritan. They probably heard that he'd been in that Samaritan village, bringing the water of eternal life into that place. And has a devil. Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honour my Father, and you do dishonour me. And I seek not mine own glory, but there is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. If you remain, if you continue in my word, you will never see death. The day of the dying of a believer is the most glorious day in their lives. The one thing that hinders us seeing the Lord Jesus Christ in all of his glory is this flesh. No wonder the publican beat upon his chest. Never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? And the prophets are dead. Whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, if I honour myself, my honour is nothing. It is my Father that honoureth me, of whom you say he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him, and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Abraham was exceedingly joyful when he saw the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he probably saw it on several occasions in his life, but most of all he saw it on Mount Moriah when he saw the glorious substitutionary work of the Lord Jesus Christ in that lamb that was caught in the thicket. And he went down that mountain with Isaac, and I'm sure there was a lot of rejoicing. There was a lot of faith before he went up there, but the faith was turned into glorious sight for Abraham and Isaac. He was rejoicing, and he wasn't rejoicing about what he'd done. He was rejoicing about the Lamb. He was rejoicing about the Lord Jesus Christ. He was rejoicing in the fullness of God. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and thou hast seen Abraham. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. He is God. He is God. He's just declaring himself to be God Almighty, God incarnate. God come to redeem, to rescue. God come to bring light into the darkness. What have we seen in all of these statements from these people? Nothing but darkness. And he declares his light, doesn't he? He declares his glory. Then they took up stones to cast him. They wanted him silenced and they wanted him dead. But himself and went out from the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Let's not stop. The chapter divisions are put in by men in the 13th and 14th century. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, this is a fleshly answer, a fleshly question, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? His blindness is a result of some sin that he's done. It must be. We can trace this. That's what Job's miserable counsellors did, didn't they? His friends, so-called. You must have done something wrong to cause this to come upon you. Jesus answered, neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. He is the light of the world.
And chapter 9 finishes with that man declaring the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. The light came. The darkness is dispelled. The man simply believed and worshipped. These are chilling words that the Lord says at near the end of John chapter 39, John chapter 9, verse 39. "For judgment am I come into this world, that they which see might not see." Those that feel and see and think that they can see clearly enough to stand in judgment of God and his word will be made blind. "I have come into this world that they which see might not see." He's come. That's the story of the blind man, isn't it? The blind man saw him. "But they which see might be made blind." Made blind. Brothers and sisters, this is a glorious, glorious passage of Scripture, isn't it? This light shining in darkness. And when the Lord Jesus Christ comes and when he shines, the darkness is exposed as a deep and dreadful darkness it is, and the light shines more gloriously on him. I want to be free. I want to have his freedom. I want to be a disciple indeed. Will you pray with me that would be what you call upon him? "If you continue in my word," every word that we have just read is the words of God. They're not my words, they're God's words. God's children, like Abraham, believe them in faith. We believe the one who has spoken them. I want to be a disciple indeed. I want to know the truth. I want to know the truth, and I want to be free. I want this glorious liberty of the children of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please bless your words. We thank you. We thank you that they are recorded faithfully. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that they are promised to be illuminated by the blessed Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, may we go from here knowing the glorious liberty of the children of God. May we know that glorious freedom which Christ has made for us. And may we be disciples indeed. Heavenly Father, you alone can cause us to continue in your word. We pray your blessing on us, Heavenly Father, for we pray in Jesus' name and for his glory.